reminds me, Morris is Esther Hashem Lekech Atira L'Rabbeis Talmidei Chachamim, and the Pasuk says, L'chodu Niyos Ilo, means that a person cannot be Shaveach HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully. So Hashem Lekech Atira L'Rabbeis Talmidei Chachamim, in a certain sense, that is true with regard to the great Talmud Chacham as well. The Rebbe one time said that the definition of a hesped is to draw a picture with words of the life of the nifter. Well, I don't have the words, and I can't draw a picture. As I'll say, Elazar Gadol said, "Harbe lo madati me rabosai." I learned a lot from my rebbeim. "Lo chisarti mehem kekelev hamalakeik." I went to Lach Marabim and I didn't take away from them as much as a dog takes away when he laps the waters of the great ocean. Allah has come of Achama, us, myself. When I thought about being Maspid the Rav, I felt I couldn't do it. So the idea of the Rav came to me. The beautiful idea that he explained to us in Tefillah, that Tefillah, you're caught between two forces. On the one hand, you can't be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever we say is nonsense, silly, but nevertheless, we're Mechuyut to be Meshabeach, because the nature of man demands that for his perfection. So Allah created an institution of a Matir. Matir means the person knows what he's saying essentially is inappropriate, but he must say it. I thought to myself that with regard to that, with that same concept, I could be Maspid the Rav. Then it occurred to me something else, that a Matir, when a person uses a Matir, in Halacha we have a conflict between two forces, so there are two ways to resolve it. One way is Hutra, one way is the Huya. Hutra means that there's an exception. It's exceptional. If something is Hutra, it's completely permissible. If we say that it's Mutter, to have Tzitzis, to have Kalayim, if we say it's Hutra, it means it's completely Mutter. If we say it's the Huya, it means only under certain situations where you must use the Matir. And therefore I say to you today that in my situation I don't have to use the matir. What I will present to you is not a hesped of the Rav, which I am incapable of, but things that I personally gained and saw from the Rav. So it is really a sharing with you of some personal experiences rather than a true hesped. I won't try to psychologize my great Rebbe, the great Gadol HaDor. The Rav was very much against the practice of psychologizing Gedolei Yisrael, Balei HaMasorah. He felt that this method, which is commonly used today in the secular world, is a false one, an inappropriate one, and one actually which is self-contradictory. I also will not portray the Rav in a way that is appealing to people in general, because I feel that that would not be truthful. The Rav was not appealing to people in general. The Rav didn't have what the common person would call an affable personality. And many people, because of this, were turned off, and they had complaints about the Rav. What they didn't understand is what Chazal say, Hevinis Aveik Ba'afarik Ubargoyhem, that the great Talmud Chacham, you are not capable of making decisions about him, but you must be Misaveik Ba'afarik Ubargoyhem, subordinate your own view to his, and recognize that you are standing in the presence of godless, of greatness. I remember one of the first shiurim I heard from the Rav. This was in the 50s, and he gave a shiur Minchas Chinuch in those days. And I remember how he was very unhappy with one of Minchas Chinuch's questions. And he even, you might say, ridiculed the Minchas Chinuch's question. He was referring to the Minchas Chinuch's question in the Ernie Dachas. And he mentioned that he wrote a lot of pages. He was very excited about his question, but his question was basically nothing. And coming from a background of learning where every achron was so respected, was considered a lack of kovod to speak about an achron in such terms, I was shocked, I was taken aback. Then I started to realize, as I stayed on, I started to realize, gained a little insight into the Rav's approach. When the Rav learned, there was no room for Derech Eretz. It was not an exercise in Emunah. It was an exercise in Das, in knowledge and understanding. I remember, I believe the Rav one time said, that the Esh Rav Chaim, every Midah has a good, that has some value. Where can one utilize the Midah of Apikorsis? And Rav Chaim said, when you're learning a Taisvus, when Taisvus quotes a Gemara, don't believe him, it could be an Apikoros. Check it out yourself. And that's the way the Rav learned. The Rav understood things firsthand, with Das. It wasn't until one guy spoke to a Rosh Hashiva and I told him something the Rav had said on a shach that I heard many years ago. He liked the shach. It was a shach that dealt with Avraham and Achai, and the shach gave a very sharp answer. And he said, from this shach you could see the shach was a lamed. And this Rosh Hashiva said, from this shach you could see he was a lamed. How could you have a chavamin he wasn't a lamed? But the answer is because the Rav, when he learned, it was das, it was knowledge, it was first-hand knowledge. It was not a place for Amudah. The Rav was really, I would characterize him as a brazen personality. In Ish Halacha, the Rav talks about the man of Halacha. And he says, he approaches the world of Halacha with his mind and intellect. Just as cognitive man approaches the natural realm. And since he relies on his intellect, he places his trust in it. His own personal understanding can resolve the most difficult and complex problems. He is not particularly submissive and retiring, and is not meek when it is a matter of maintaining his own views. Neither modesty nor humility characterizes the image of the halachic man. On the contrary, his most characteristic feature is strength of mind. He is motivated by a passionate love for truth. These statements, to my mind, characterize the Rav, the Ish Halacha par excellence. I think back in that vein of some of the statements that the Rav made, which exhibit this unbelievable strength of character, this confidence in one's mind, in one's intellect, this love, passionate love for truth. I remember the Rav one time said, when we were speaking about Hillel, he said, I'll tell you something. In Yiddish he said, Sken zayin es aprikosis. But if Hillel wouldn't have told that guy that Kala Tara Kula is Vahafta L'Reicha Kameicha, he said, all the Apikorsim, the conservatives and the reformed, and all those movements that are against the Orthodox view, the view of Torah, he says, would have no one to rely on. Had Hillel said that what is Torah? Keeping every mitzvah and every halacha of the diktuka, they would have nobody, the world would have, the world of the Nice would have nobody to look up to defend themselves with. statement like this exhibits an unbelievable ability, commitment to honesty, to the truth, lack of fear. Commitment to MS means commitment to MS without any kind of reservations, without any kind of compromise. The Gemara says in Yuma that why would they call the Anshei Knesset Agdola? Because they brought back the Torah to Yehoshua. And the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Okay, La Gadol La Gibor Vanero. But Yirmiyo and Daniel came afterwards and they left out Hagibor. And they left out Noro. Because they said, Aye Guraso Va Aye Noraso. And Anshei Knesset Agdola brought it back, as you know. But there's an interesting statement of the Gemara after that. The Gemara asks, the Gemara says, Rabbonon Heichi, Rabbonon meaning the Nevi'im, Yirmiyo and Daniel, Heichi Avdiha, how could they do this? Va'akri takanta the Tukin Moshe. How could they remove the takana? Moshe Rabbeinu told me the takana. Are you supposed to say, okay, la gadol gibor nero? So how could they break takanas Moshe Rabbeinu? The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, mitok sheyodin ba'kadosh baruch hu she'en mitiyo. Because they realized, they knew that a kadosh baruch hu is emiti. Maskim alemes, Rashi says, the son is a sheker. So regardless, it doesn't matter who, even if it was Moshe Rabbeinu's takana, but if you honestly cannot say it, then you cannot say Gibor v'Nero. That's the approach of Chazal. This is what we saw in the road. I think of the brilliant insight, those gems that strike right at the core of an issue, that majestic sweep of the mind that was the Rav's. Think of different things that he said, but certain things stand out in my mind. I remember once how he defined Teresh Baal Peh. He said, what is Teresh Baal Peh? Is it a Gemara? It's not the Gemara. He said, if I were to ask you what is mathematics, would you say it's that which is written in a book on mathematics? No. What's written in a book on mathematics is the result of mathematics. Mathematics is a way of thinking. What's written in Chazal is a result of Teresh Baal Peh. Teresh Baal Peh is an approach, an understanding, a way of thinking, a way of grasping the emes. The Rav knew that because of his great mind, because of his great insight, that people, smaller people, would not be able to agree with him. And he was aware of those who were against him and those who didn't accept him. And he one time spoke about it. He said that in every movement, a movement is a truthful one, there are three stages. The first stage is bittul. He says, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro, so Paro wasn't angry at Moshe. He was mevatel. Miyad Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kolo. He says, because the movement was first beginning. Later, when it was successful, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, then you had Amalek. Then you had Sinah. Sinah is the second stage after the movement is successful. The Rav said that when the yeshivas of Yitzchak Rabbanim first began, people would go out and conservative Rabbanim would help the yeshiva because they felt sorry for the yeshiva. There was bittul, it's nothing. He says, later there was a sinner when the yeshiva was successful. He said, what would I rather have? Would I rather have people saying, poor Rabbi Soloveitchik? Or would I rather have them adamantly hate me? He says, I'd rather have them hate me. He said, I have a Kabbalah from my father that anything that's truthful has got to be difficult. If a person is fighting for Torah and other people hate him, he says, Ashrei mi shezochel lakach. The Rav is a tower of strength, and In Torah, he exemplified and gave us a chance and opportunity to see the clear mind that knows how to approach a question properly and knows how to give an answer. Not just to give a beautiful answer, but as the Rav one time said about Rav Chaim, he said, to give the only answer. He said, when other Gedolim gave Terutzim, they were Terutzim. But Rav Chaim gave a Teretz, it was the only answer. I think of one brief halacha that stands out in my mind. Of course, there are endless. I don't know why certain ones stand out in one's mind. I guess it has to do with the Talmud. The Rav asked the question, the Rav said, the Rambam holds that Avelis is only Rabban. Yet, in Hilchos Bias Migdash, the Rambam says, that an Ovel cannot be Mishaleach Karbonos of Kol Shiva. How is that possible? That's only the Rabban. Rabban is the Raisa. Why can't he be Mishaleach Karbonos of Kol Shiva? So the Rav said, because the Nihug Avelis, the acts of Avelis are only Rabban, but the Gavra, the person is an Ovel, that's a halacha mitaraisa. When Yosef HaTzadik kept the Avelis for 7 days, it was because the Gavra was an Ovel mitaraisa. Later they were made, the Chachomim instituted Nihug. The Nihug is mitarabanan. And perhaps this piece of Torah came to my mind because we, I believe, insofar as the Rav is concerned, are Avelim. The Gavra is an Ovel. The Gavra is eternally an Ovel. Gemara says in Leit Katan that Kriya has to be done b'shas chimon. Means, Rashi says, b'shas chimon means hascholas atzar, when the tzar begins, b'shas misa. So the Gemara asks the question, but by Shmuel, when he heard that Rav was nifter and was after the misa, so he tore 12 garments. He said, Ozel Gavra the Mistafilian. The person that I was afraid of is gone. And he tore 12 garments. It's similar to Yechanan, when he heard the Rabbi Chanina was Nifter, tore 13 garments. So the Gemara says, how is it possible it's not B'Shas Chimon? So the Gemara says, because by a Talmud Chacham it's always B'Shas Chimon, because his Shmaitza, his learning is always with us. And that is certainly true of the Rav. It's always Shas Chimon. What is the definition of Shas Chimon? It's always Hascholas Atzar. The Rav, who was able to give those brilliant answers, that when you heard them you knew that this is the answer, this is the truth. That same great mind also had an unusual characteristic, and that was he knew when not to give an answer. He knew when to stop and to walk away. And it could be a very basic question in the Sugya, but this didn't bother him. The Rav says, the man of halacha is not humble. I would say it means he's not humble in the social sense. Because social humility is simply a gesture, a personal gesture. It really is mostly false humility. Everyone knows how to put forward his best foot. But true anivus, true humility, is anivus before the emes, before Torah, before the Borei Olam. For a great mind to be able to realize that he doesn't understand the most basic point of the sugya and walk away and say, I don't know, that is true anivus. Anivus is between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the real anivus. Well, Ish Moshe Anav Ma'od, because he had the greatest knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe is not characterized in the Torah as being meek in the sense that most people think, but on the contrary, as being very strong. The Rav, when we studied by the Rav, we had the opportunity to see the greatest gift, the Tzelem Elokim in operation, functioning, with an unbelievable intuition. And the Rav one time said about Rav Chaim, when Rav Chaim heard a kashi, he said immediately he would think, the answer would start prodding on his mind immediately. It was automatic. It was his intellectual, his intuition, his great intuition. And the Rav, when one learned by the Rav, one saw that intuition. If you look carefully, the Rav used to say, you have to spy on your Rebbe. All those stories about Chazal, that they spied on their Rebbe. You have to spy on your Rebbe, you have to spy on his mind, you have to see, look behind the scenes. He's not going to give you everything. Because if he gave you everything, it would be worthless. If you don't make the move, then you can't get it. You can't gain from it. And the Rav, those who know and listen to the Rav Shiurim, remember the Rav used to repeat. He used to go over, and some people would wonder, why is he repeating? Why is he saying it over again? If you listen carefully, you would see why. When he learned, he never repeated anything. I don't believe the Rav ever repeated a Rav Chaim. The Rav, when he said over Rav Chaim, he was learning with Rav Chaim right there. Just because Rav Chaim was the first one to think of it, did not take away from his originality. He was saying to Rav Chaim, it was Rav Chaim medaber mitav grono shel Rav. It was not repetition. And when the Rav would repeat, his mind was searching, always searching to try to improve the definition. It was a glance. He was going over it again to see, looking for an opening. And if he saw one, he moved in. And if he didn't see one, he retracted. Sometimes he didn't see one. Now, the audience thought, why did he have to repeat himself so many times? They didn't see. They weren't able to see what he was doing. His great mind looking through, sifting through the material, always unsatisfied, always trying to perfect it more and more. The Rav's father, Moshe Zichron Levracha, said about the Rav in a letter that he wrote, the famous letter that he wrote to those in Eretz Yisrael that were in charge of choosing the Rav Rashi to Tel Aviv many years ago in the 30s. And in the letter he wrote about his son, he said, he is modest and incorruptible. What does it mean when we say incorruptible? And how can we say that a person is, a human being is absolutely incorruptible? What does that statement mean? It doesn't sound real. I would say, in my own view, I have never seen a Rav give a compromised answer. That's not the same thing as saying the Rav never compromised. The Rav compromised, but he never gave a compromised answer. A compromised answer is an answer that comes from two parts of the human personality. One part is his mind, and the other part is son of Moshe. And therefore he comes to a compromise. A compromised answer is a compromise in the gavra. In the Rav, there was never any compromise in the gavra. If he gave a compromise, it's because that's fully exactly what he thought should be done. But how could a person be incorruptible? And Gedolei Yisrael have that common characteristic that they are incorruptible. My brother told me recently a story about a certain posek in Yerushalayim. They gave a psak, complicated psak that had to do with Taras and Mishpacha. And then after that, people of the Frum community heard about it, they didn't appeal to them. So, under pressure, he withdrew his psak. And Moshe Feinstein heard about it, and he said, is it the right sir? Lo sagun et neish, can't be afraid of human being. The Rav never compromised, the Rav is not afraid of another person. But why Agidoli Yisrael, why was the Rav incorruptible? The answer is because most people are just. I'm speaking about good people, they're just. But they're just, but there are other things that they like besides justice. And when you present them with the opportunity for those other things, they're caught in a conflict. Sometimes they are successful in winning the battle. Sometimes they're not. But if they win, it's an act of the will. If they're successful, it's an act of the will. Gedolei Yisrael are into a different world. They're into the world of Emes, the world of Chochmah, the world of ideas which they value more than anything else. They're incorruptible because there's nothing you can offer them. And that, those who studied by the Rav, knew what was dear to the Rav, clearly sensed incorruptibility in that sense of the word, true incorruptibility. Thank you. What about the role of, when it comes to chesed, when it came to chesed? I'll tell you, I was one time in the country and had a complicated shiloh that had to do with Tchum Shabbos. That was a complicated shiloh. I called the rabbi up, he told me, call me back. Called him back one time, two times, then finally he said to me, I can't be mother. I can't be mother. Okay, so I can't go to school. I mean, I didn't expect the conversation to go any further. Then I heard from the other end of the receiver on the phone line, he says, so what are you going to do? I was shocked. I didn't know what I'm going to do. I said, nope, daven b'chidus. So he said, okay, you'll daven b'chidus. The last question was not a real question. It was a question, an empathetic question. The Rav saw that I was trying to work out a way that I can go to shul, and he felt for me, and he felt sorry for me. And I felt the warmth of the chesed that he showed me. But if you ask me, what was the Rav's chesed personally for me? That was nothing. The greatest chesed was that he let me sit in his shiur. That was truly his chesed, as far as I'm concerned. The Rav one time mentioned when he was maspid, Brisker Rav, many years ago, he said, the chesed of Aaron HaKohen and the chesed of Moshe were two different types. By Aaron HaKohen it says, Vayifkoi say, Kol Beis Yisrael, because his chesed was transparent. He was always osek with people doing great chesed. But the chesed of Moshe Rabbeinu was invisible. People couldn't see it because nobody saw. Was not there with Neir Hashem as a boy my young as a boy my loyal Asher's not polti. Nobody saw Lechem Lechalti Mayim Lashasisi. The chesed was hidden from Kol Yisrael, and that's why they didn't appreciate it. The Rav's greatest chesed of the greatest kind, where he bestowed upon us the greatest gift, he allowed us to share Chochmah, to share Torah with him, his Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, his careful hours of preparation to make sure that every shir is so fine-tuned, so perfect. That chesed we didn't see. That was chesed me'achorei apargoi. That was something we didn't see. That was the true chesed. That was the greatest chesed. That he allowed us to share the greatest gift possible, Torah itself. And I would just like to say that in the Rav's, through the Rav's personality, not just sharing of Torah, but the fact that he allowed us to observe himself, there we saw the godless Adam through his chachma, through his genius. And Yadis, as you know, has a strange shita, because the world separates genius and mind from intellect, from ethics. And we in Yadis say no. Genius, that is ethics, and that is perfection. We believe, of course, it's possible for a person to be a great intellect and not be perfected. But the opposite is impossible. You cannot have a person who is perfected and is not a great intellect. Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Teratatim. Through Chochmah itself, in Yadus is perfection. The center of the stage of Yadus is not the religious person, it's the Talmud Chacham. If the person is not a goyin, if he doesn't have the genius, if the tzelem elokim cannot partake of the eternal world of Chochmas Hashem, there is nothing. There's no godless in Torah, there's no godless in Midas, there's no real godless. And we see, interestingly enough, what we call Kabbalah Salamach HaShamayim is in fact not a Kabbalah. The person doesn't make any Kabbalah, Mekabal myself to do this, to do that, etc., etc., be Mosa Nefesh. We simply say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. we mention and we think about and we try to understand as best we could, Achdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means with knowledge, with Das Hashem, you know, the greatest Kabbalah Samitzvahs. It's the only Kabbalah Samitzvahs. Yedias Hashem, the knowledge. And that's what we saw from the Rav. We saw his gainus, his chesed, his personality, the expression of his strength of character, all came from one source, from the function of his tzelem elokim, from his access to chokhmas Hashem, from his, as he said, his rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Daf of Gemara, the one. It all had one unified source. The Rav one time mentioned, the Pasuk says, in Bereishis, at the same time, that Yaakov Avinu received the news of the Petira of his mother Rivka. Pasuk doesn't mention it. Pasuk says that Tomas Vivora Lineges Rivka. And Yerushim Ben Aziel says Petit Gugia, she was a teacher of Rivka. And Rav said, why was it that the Nisa of his mother was eclipsed and instead the Torah spoke about the Nisa of his Meinekes? Because he said that the Avelus of the Meinekes, the Chiyuv, the obligation to recognize the Akaras HaTov to that person that trained him, that person that gave him the idea, was really the person that gave Rivka the idea, the one that made Rivka. That was more important. That Avelus was more important than the emotional Avelus of Yaakov Avinu's own mother. We're now in the middle of Yud Beis Chodesh, the middle of Sfira, I'm sorry, and the Rav explained that Sfira is Yud Beis Chodesh. And Yud Beis Chodesh is not an avelus of emotion, because the closest relationship that exists is between a man and his wife. But the reason why the avelus of a parent is longer and extends to Yud Beis Chodesh is because it's a different kind of avelus. It's not an emotional avelus. It's an avelus of Kabeis Avichua Vesimechua Hukshu Kvodom Makavara Makom. It's a dinim kavod. And that is the same kind of avelus that we are in now. That is the avelus that we experience for the Rav. He's a friend of Rav Chaim Lavo. The Pasuk says in Zechariah, when it speaks about a very unusual, remarkable nevuah. The nevuah of Zechariah really is a nevuah that is a nevuah of Moshe Mashiach. Moshiach Hashem is Ola Yehuda Barishona. And then, V'shafachti al Beis David al Yoshev Yerushalayim Ruachin V'sachnunim. But then the Pasuk in the middle says, V'bitu Eilai Eis Hashem Dekoro. And God says, look to me about the one who was fallen, who was deceased, who was dead. V'softu Olov K'mispeit Alayochid. V'homer Olov K'homer Alapor. V'yomahu Yigdal HaMispeit Yerushalayim K'mispeit HaDidremon B'bikas Megidon. And it's funny, but the Navi combines Yemos HaMashiach, which is wonderful times, with this great Hespi. And the Gemara asks, what does this mean? The Gemara says, Hai Hespid Maya Viditem. What is this Hespid? And Chazal argue. Some say that it's referring to the Yetzer Hara that was Nishat. The evil inclination of man will be destroyed at that point. And there will be a great Hesper. And the Gemara says there will be two groups that will be masculine. One will be the Tzaddikim that will say that how are we able to overcome this great Yetzer Hara? And the Rishonim, on the contrary, will say, how were we not able to overcome the Yetzer Hara? It's a strange Gemara. But I think the Pshat in the Gemara explains not only that Mandama, but the other Mandama also. Because the other Mandama says that this Hesped will be about Mashiach ben Yosef. And the question is, why? And what is the importance of such a great Hesped about Mashiach ben Yosef? And what is its time to the Gula Asida, to Yemos HaMashiach? But what Chazal say is, what Chazal mean is, the Russia will say, how could I have not overcome the Yetzer Hara? Because the Yetzer Hara distorts reality to such a great degree that the moment the Russia is removed from the Yetzer Hara, he immediately sees clearly what the truth is. I'll say, how was I fooled? The Tzaddik, on the other hand, he wasn't fooled. But here you see the amazing depth of Chazal. Chazal say that Tzaddik will be bocha because of the Yisurim that he had to go through in order to conquer the Yetzer Hara. Because the Yetzer Hara is called Tfunin, it's hidden, and we don't really see the full depths of the Yetzer Hara. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shech the Yetzer Hara, so then you'll see, you'll understand it, and you'll realize how much you suffer, even to a greater degree than you realized before. That's the mandama that holds, that's the meaning of the Hesped. We understand that Hesped is tied into the Gula Asira. But what about the other mandama that says that it's referring to the death of Mashiach ben Yosef? What does that have to do with Gula Asira? The Pasuk says, the soft olav kimispeh al hayochid v'homer olav kahomer al abchor. So what does it mean, kimispeh al hayochid? Kimispeh al hayochid means like a ben yachid. It means to say that the worst tragedy, rachmanon litzlan, is a person loses a ben yachid. Ben yachid means there's no one else, the only one. All his emotions were involved in this bed. And the Homer of Kahomer Lachor, what is the Bechor? The Bechor is the one that achieved the highest level of perfection. Ani Bechor Yisrael, the one that does the Avodah. The Rav was both to us. He was the Bechor, he was the Oved Avodah, and he was always also like the Ben Yachid, the only one that we had. But it's interesting, because the Pasuk doesn't say the soft olav can misbeit al ha-ben yachid. It says the soft olav can misbeit al ha-yachid. Why did the Pasuk change the proper expression? I believe because there's an important concept in this expression. The soft olav can misbeit al ha-yachid, because if a person has a ben yachid, that's one thing. But if the ben yachid is truly a yachid, if he's truly alone, if he lived a life where not only he didn't have any brothers and sisters, he simply was alone during his entire lifetime, then when the Av is Mesabel, he's Mesabel because he identifies with the life of the Ben Yachid. Kerachmei Ha'av Ha'Bein. And you know the Rambam says that a person that is not Mesabel, K'mitzvas Chachamim, is an Achzor. It means that a person has to have feelings and has to be able to identify with the deceased. If he doesn't identify, if he's not Miss Abel, he's an Asar. What the Pasuk is telling us is that this great Mashiach ben Yosef, this great man, is not only a ben yachid for the people, but he was a yachid. He was alone. He was a person that was all alone. Because Godless makes a person be alone. It puts him in a different world, a different realm, a different frame of reference. And there's no one else that can share that frame of reference with him. And when he acts, people don't understand him. And they don't find, it's not appealing to them what he says. That makes a person alone. The Rav was a yachid. When I say the Rav was a yachid, I don't mean the fact that in the world he went out and he fought alone, lone campaigner, lone fighter, lone warrior. But I'll tell you, I really experienced, I really saw how alone he was one time when I went to hear him in Boston on Tisha B'Av. And maybe it was something subtle, but it struck me in a certain way. It was at 11 o'clock, I believe, 11:15 or so, and the Rav said to the people that came to hear him from all over, he said, "You can sit down on the benches now." And amazingly, nobody sat down. And because, I assume, because they knew the Mishnah Berurah said, "Left the Chatzos, not Chatzos yet." When I saw that, I realized the Rav is truly alone. When Talmidim, when people came to him, came from miles to hear his Chachma, he didn't have the confidence in his psak, and he said it's enough. Not to have the chutzpah, not to listen to what he said. I thought of how he must feel, how alone he must feel. When a person from the outside world, you expect that people are not going to understand you because they're so far removed. But the Rav was alone, not only in the outside world, even among many people who worked and considered themselves as followers. I remember at another shiur where he said on Tisha B'Av, was on Tisha B'Av again, and he said, "I'll tell you the truth." He said, "The Chovan HaBayis, to me, it doesn't really affect me that much because," he says, "I know the whole Avodah. The whole Avodah is alive and well with me. If I had to do the Avodah Kain Gadol on Yom Kippurim, I'd do it with Chilasa Atzefa without any mistakes." So, someone who came there wasn't so happy with this. Went against his religious emotions. He said, "If that's the case, so why don't we put on tefillin? We have Masechta Melachos." And Rav quietly said, "I didn't say we shouldn't do Melachos." He said, "I'm telling you what the essence of Melachos is to me." And this person continued, says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Godlimut Shemil de Maisa." So Rav said, "That's true, but it's a different Maisa." In those instances, I sensed that the Rav must have felt that he is truly alone. Not because the Talmud is kashas, he loved kashas. As a matter of fact, talking about the Rav's great anivus, the Talmud would ask him, the smallest Talmud would ask him a kasha that he knew was a correct kasha. He would never twist and try to answer. Honestly say, "That's it. You're right." But the reason why I take issue is because this Talmud's question wasn't coming from a desire to understand. It was coming from the fact that he couldn't subordinate himself to the Rav's view, the Rav's scope of Torah. But he was hung up on his own personal and emotional level. That is where you see how alone the Rav really was. And I think the Pasuk says, the softul of kemisbeit al hayachid, it means that the perfection of Klal Yisrael in the time of the Gula Asida demands that we empathize, that we're makir tov, and we understand and we appreciate, and we're mishtateh betzairo of the yachid, this great yachid. It's true, and I think to myself, I never had such kind of a feeling that the Rav needs any support. And in truth, he didn't. But we fail to recognize what he went through for us. The tzar, the agmas nefesh, the difficulties that he went through during his lifetime because he fought against those that opposed him, that didn't understand him. The softer love to misbeit al hayachid. We would be negligent, we'd be remiss today if we weren't mishtatef in that tzaren, if we didn't have the greatest hakaras hatov to him for what he went through, for what he suffered alone as a yachid. The Rabbanan said that Reish Rabbeinu, when he went for Yikach Moshe as Atzmas Yosef Imo, so he said, why did Moshe Rabbeinu take the Atzmas Yosef? Do you realize what it means when he took the Atzmas Yosef? Here Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro, Neuchana Shloshes Yom HaMidbar, I'm going to go for 3 days. Do you ever hear people going for 3 days and taking along Mason? He jeopardized the entire Geula by taking along the Atzmas Yosef. But why did he do it? Because the Rav said, the basis of
Rav, of course, when we think of the Rav, we think of all the facets that we knew of him, and his great intellect, his great chachma, his ideas, the ideas of Torah, the ideas of Hashem, and his chiddush, the Gedolei Yisrael give us access, the Einei Ha'edah give us access to Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through chiddush. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the greatest Mechadesh, and Mechadesh B'Kuvah B'Chol Yom Tov Ma'aseh Bereishis. And this we appreciate. Morris says in Sota, the end of Sota, Misha Mace, Rebbe, Butla, Novo, V'Yiras Chaitz. The Rav one time asked, he said, what do you mean Butla, Novo, V'Yiras Chaitz? There's no one after Rav Yudah Nosser, it wasn't honor. The one mentions, I'm right in the one of Novo, that had Midas and Midas. What does it mean? How could the Gemara say that? So the Rav said, what it means is there was another, but it was a different kind of another. There was Yiras Chaitz, but it was a different kind of Yiras Chaitz. And I would conclude my words with one statement. Yishemes HaRav Batlu Talmidei Chacham. And it's true that others will use the term we used about others, but like the Rav said, it's a different kind of a Talmud Chacham. That kind of Talmud Chacham we don't have anymore. And the only Divrei Tanchumim that I could say is what Chazal say, Ein Ben David Bo, Achim Yichlu, Kol Shofun, Meshotun, Yisrael, should be Zelf and Sivu Gula, comparatively. Thank you.
Staten Island, one of the largest Orthodox synagogue shuls in the United States. And Marcus had the opportunity to learn both with the Rav and have the opportunity to be mishamish the Rav and spend much time with him outside the shir as well. And Marcus is the founder of the Genesis Institute and has worked closely with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in publishing of Soloveitchik's recent svarim. Please call upon Rabbi Marcus.
Terrible fear and difficulty in attempting to picture or portray the Rav is that if he was here, he would tell you exactly what he thought. But he's not here. And possibly the greatest tragedy of being misquoted, misunderstood, and misrepresented, which afflicted the Rav for so many years. Now we'll have no one to correct or to put into proper place. We've often spoken, and Rav Chaitz mentioned relationships that are very unique. Relationships of parents to children, of ish l'isha, and a third relationship of a Talmud to a Rav. We've often kibitzed that the Hebrew alphabet at times shows us the closeness. Av and Aim are both Alephs, Bain and Bas both begin with bases. And the entire family relationships continue almost according to the alphabet. And yet, if you take a look, Balabas sometimes is with a base, and Rav Arevi is with a Resh. But in truth, Talmud to a Rav is much, much closer. There's a little difference because there has to be that difference. But the relationship of Rebbe to Talmud is one that, while many people here may be Zolcha too, with the Rosh Yeshivas, his Rebbe, most religious American Jews really don't understand what it means. And it's that relationship that the Gemara tells us that even transcends a physical relationship of parents to children. How does one begin to describe the terrible loss, what the Rav represented for so many years? And I don't know anyone who really took full advantage of it. If there are Shivim Panim LaTorah, if the Torah has so many different facets, Rashi, Ramban, or Chaim HaKadosh, taking a look at any pasuk, then an individual who represents Kol HaTorah Kulo has to have that many facets as well. And whether it was the Rav in all of his glory, in all of his majesty, at the Yahrzeit Shiurim and the Lampwood Auditorium, where thousands would gather to hear him, or whether it was the Rav at Harvard or MIT speaking, whether it was the Rav in Shir, where time had no end and no meaning, whether it was the Rav alone in his apartment, or whether sitting on the front bench in the Maimonides school in Yeshiva with little children sitting next to him, the Gadol Hador was sitting in the front row against the Mechitza, and little kids would be sitting next to him, be asking him questions, be nudging him. Every aspect with a different facet of the Rav. What's the real Rav? Who's the real Rav? I don't understand. Every aspect was part of the Rav. Like an itzotzeitz that would give light and warmth in many different directions. All of that was the Rav.